Hello, it's Barbara. I'm back in the police station, and I reassure you again that I'm not under arrest at this moment. I'm with Tracy and Jill, the ladies that you've heard before, who help you with crime prevention. First, we're going to speak with Tracy.
Hiya, I'm Tracy Pritchard, Crime Prevention Officer for Calderdale. I have spoke to you before. I'm going to be giving you some crime figures, but first of all, Jill's going to have a little chat with you about avoiding pension scams.
Hi, my name's Jill Pilling. I'm one of the Crime Prevention Officers in Calderdale. Hope you're all keeping well. First of all, what I'd like to discuss with you is regarding the new pension scams that are in place at the moment due to the pensions criteria changing last year. What you should always be suspicious of is anybody who calls you out of the blue to offer you a money-making deal. Bearing in mind that you can now collect your pensions or part of your pension from the age of 55. If someone calls you, always ask them that you want to call them back. All companies will always be happy for you to do this, whereas scammers tend to be more wary about giving out their contact details. While firms might pretend to be offering free guidance, some pretend to represent PensionWise. This is the official government site which has made it an offence in recent legislations. So how do you spot a scam? It's quite difficult, that one, to be honest, but I'll try and give you some tips. Okay, spot a pension scam. Phrases like one-off investment opportunity, free pension reviews or legal loopholes, cash bonuses or government endorsement. This isn't true. You are approached out of the blue over the phone via a text message or somebody at your door, or somebody's asking you to do a money transfer overseas, promising access to your pension before you're even 55. That could potentially be a scam as well. They can't provide you any copies of documentation when you've asked for them, and then you're encouraged to speed up the transfer of your money to a new scheme. All these are ways of spotting a scam. First of all, what you need to do is check with the regulator financial services providers. They will tell you if a company is registered, as well as listing any companies that are currently being investigated. Any company which are claiming to be a government endorsement is not telling the truth. Don't proceed unless you are absolutely certain your money will be safe once you transfer it. Otherwise, it is too late. The government has launched an official pension guide service called PensionWise. You can talk to them about your pension options. Or if you're still unclear about that, if you contact your local Citizens Advice Bureau or the Pension Advisory Service. Before you sign anything, call the Pension Advice Service on 03001231047 for further information and guidance. If you've already accepted an offer and you think this might be too late, raise the alarm immediately with Action Fraud on 03001232040. This information is available from West Yorkshire Police also, so if you didn't catch those numbers, you can always ring 101 and ask to speak to myself or Tracy. I'm going to pass you on to Tracy now, and she's going to talk to you about what are the current crime trends in both Todmorden and Hebden Bridge currently.
Right, I've got some figures for crimes, serious acquisitive crimes, that is, for Todmorden and Hebden Bridge for the past 3 months. Right, we'll start with Todmorden. There was 21 burglary dwellings. Now, that is particularly high for Todmorden. We did have a spate not so long ago of quite a lot of burglaries. It's a very unusual number, but They have stopped, and we haven't had any for the past few weeks. So hopefully the person has been put away or they've moved on or anything like that. So that is a particularly high number, although they have now stopped. So that was 21 burglary dwellings in the past 3 months in Todmorden. Burglary other which is like your sheds, your garages, shops, commercial premises, there's been 39. Again, this is a very, very high figure for Todmorden. And again, they have now ceased. Theft from motor vehicles, there's been 10. And your theft of motor vehicles, there's been 7. That makes it made a total of 77 crimes in Todmorden. However, we have made 11 arrests in the past 3 months for Todmorden crimes. Moving on to Hebden Bridge. Again, these figures have been a bit high. Burglary dwellings, there was 13, and burglary others, 36. Theft from motor vehicles, 21, and theft of motor vehicles, 10. And there have been 8 arrests for Hebden Bridge crime. So that's been 19 arrests for Todmorden and Hebden in the past 3 months. So hopefully, we've seen a decline now in the burglaries. So hopefully, it was one of those that we put away.
Oh, that sounds good, a decline. And one thing I'll just ask you, twice, yesterday and today, this morning, I've had the phone call from Talk Talk, the Asian that you can't understand. And I think it leads, I put the phone there, but it leads on to saying, can you go and switch your computer on? Now, that's kind of, the kind of never, cold calls you get.
Yeah, never ever, if somebody rings you up, a cold calling like that, never listen to them, always put the phone down. Legitimate companies would not phone you up and ask you to turn your computer on and that they're going to do something remotely. They wouldn't do that. If you've got a problem with your computer, you should take it somewhere. They say they're going to access and do some upgrades. You will never need an upgrade done remotely. All upgrades are sent through to your computer if there's one available.
Right. And finally, I want to ask you, a very intelligent friend of mine in London has had her identity stolen. Is there any tips you want to give?
Well, I think Jill, in the next interview, is going to give some details regarding how to avoid identity fraud and theft. So I'll hand you over to Jill.
Yeah. Oh, just one last point before you go off. Thank you for your recording. And any problems they do have, we've still got the policemen on the beat, haven't we?
We've actually just got a new ward officer for Todmorden. She's called PC Lisa McDonald. She's took over from Ryan Stockton, who's now been made promoted to sergeant. So well done, Ryan. So Lisa is now your new ward officer, and John Stocks is still the ward officer for Hebden Bridge.
Right, anyway, thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Okay, it's Jill again. With reference to what the ladies have just been saying here in regards to identity fraud and theft, these can be broken down into two areas. Identity theft is when your personal details have been stolen, and therefore, because they've got your details, then that is when identity fraud is committed. So identity thefts happen when fraudsters access enough information about somebody's identity. So, for example, if somebody knew your name, got your date of birth, whether it be or your current or previous addresses, that means somebody could use that information to order goods online or use it to obtain loans on mobile phones or something like that. If you've been a victim of identity theft, it can lead to fraud, and it can have a direct impact on your personal financial circumstances as well. So, for example, if they have got something out in your name and the bill hasn't been paid, then you're liable for that, and it may affect your credit rating as well. And further loans and credit cards in the future.
Right.
So fraudsters can use your identities to, again, open bank account, obtain credit cards, loans and other benefits. Even state benefits can be accessed this way as well. Order goods in your name, take over your existing accounts, obtain genuine documents such as passports and driving licences in your name, which is really quite a dangerous thought to have.
Can I just stop you there? How do you know if your identity's been stolen?
Okay, so again, the first time you'll know about it is when you receive a bill or an invoice for a thing that you haven't ordered, or when you receive a letter from a debt collector, more often than not, that and you know that the debt isn't yours. Criminals commit identity theft by stealing your personal information. This is often done by taking documents from your rubbish or making contact with you pretending to be from a legitimate organisation. So that, again, that might be cold calling, knocking at your door, or a telephone call. So how do you protect yourself, I hear you ask? Number one, do not throw anything out into the rubbish, into your recycling, with your name, address or finance details without shredding it first. The best shredders to get are the one that when you're shredding it, it zigzags it rather than the straight lines. Yeah. To be
My
done.
Husband puts them in water.
All right, and does what?
And like mushes them.
And all then right,
puts
okay.
Them in the bin, because he wouldn't buy a shredder.
They could dry them out. What I do at home personally, I burn mine. If you do receive maybe an unsolicited email or a phone call that appears that your bank account from your bank or your building society asking you for your security details, never ever reveal your full password. Banks won't do this. Be aware that the bank will never ask you for your PIN number for the whole or your whole security number or password. They'll never do that. If you are concerned about a telephone call, this is another way that they'll get your details. Wait 5 minutes and call them back, particularly if it's from a bank, and make sure you take the number from the top of your bank statement. Don't use the number that the fraudsters give to you. And if at all possible, use a different telephone and make sure it's got a dialing tone before you go to make that first call.
I think we covered that last time.
Yeah, we did, for something else.
We said that what they do, you think they've hung up.
And they're still there.
But they haven't. They're blocking your line, and that's who you're getting back through to, aren't you?
If you do get burgled, sadly, what you first need to do as well, when you do get your bank statements, make sure that they're stored carefully somewhere safe in your home. Check your statements carefully as well and report anything suspicious to your bank or your financial service provider. Don't leave your bills hanging around. I know this all sounds like simple, common sense stuff, but we all have busy lives and we do leave things out every now and again. What is important that if you are expecting a credit card or a debit card or any form of new bank card and it doesn't come within 3 to 7 working days, contact your bank immediately, because for whatever reasons, there's thousands of posts and it does tend to go missing sometimes. Right. It's bound to. If you're moving house, make sure that you use a Royal Mail redirect service. It does come at a little bit of a cost, but it's much safer until you've managed to contact everybody about your change of address. If you're unsure whether you have been a victim of fraud, identity, and theft, then there are certain credit reference agencies that offer a credit report that can check your service and alert to you if any changes are made to your credit file. Mm-hmm. Again, these can be obtained from myself and Tracy, or the names of them are Call Credit, there's Equifax, there's Experian, there's ClearScore, and there's Noddle. Okay, I think Noddle's the free one, isn't it?
And
clear scores free, and you can get them from the internet. I think I've covered it all, really.
I would say, from my point of view, a lot of our listeners are elderly, and they might feel bad that they've fallen into a trap.
Yeah.
But there's no shame in it. Tell a family member what you've done.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Money
they must tell somebody.
Don't hide it.
What is important, if you think you have been a victim of identity theft, you must act quickly. Because the sooner we nip this, the better. Don't just ignore it. Even though you didn't order these goods or open that bank account, the bad debts will still end up at your name and address.
Yeah. So the quick action, the quicker the better.
Yeah, most definitely. Just one more thing I've just remembered. If you have got a new credit card or a debit card or a bank, any type of bank card, make sure you dispose of your other card correctly and chop it up into tiny bits. Some shredders will allow you to do that, some don't, or burn it like I do.
Well, thank you very much for that. I've just got one final question for Tracy, well, for both ladies. I have conservatory doors and I just lock them and hang the key in, and I know they're going to say something to me. So whichever of you,
we recommend you never leave either your little window keys in your windows or keys in doors. We do see some particular burglars whose method to get into people's houses is that they actually look for keys in windows and doors. They'll look through the glass and they can see the key. They'll find something to smash the window, and then rather than them climb through the window, they'll reach through and turn the key and open the whole window, so they're not climbing through broken glass. Yeah. So we recommend at all times you never leave your keys in windows. And also, some people have the new security locks on their doors, the Euro profile locks. And if your key is left in the Euro profile lock and it's a security lock, it's actually stopping the mechanism from working. So it's actually assisting the offender. Right. The same applies to your mortise locks on wooden doors. They can look through the little keyhole and see that there's a key in the lock. There is a little gadget that they can then has a little sucker on the end of it, so they can put the sucker on and they can turn the key. So never ever leave your keys in windows or doors. We do recommend in Calderdale that you take all your keys upstairs to bed. It is very, very rare that a burglar will come upstairs and look for keys. They don't want confrontation. Everybody has a creaky stare and it puts them off.
Okay, thank you very much, and I have to ask you the offer of going anytime you want to the blind drop-in, where you'll be very welcome. It's the first Wednesday of any month.
Yeah,
thank you.
Where people want to come and ask questions.
Yeah. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.